Grace. Thank you, Sister Johnson. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans this morning. We're going to be looking in Romans chapter 13 for a few verses. And hope you brought your Bible. And if not, look on with someone. Maybe it's close to you that's got one. And we'll ask you to go to Romans chapter 13. Wish I had time to deal with the whole chapter. Paul's telling the folks at Rome how to live the Christian life successfully. And much of the Bible is written to tell us how to live after we've been saved, after we've met Jesus, to follow the instructions and to live right. And I want to talk to you a little bit on a subject that's part of our vocabulary so much of the time, and that is the word time, T-I-M-E. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject, telling the time. How many of you remember when you first learned to tell time? Some of you haven't learned yet. That's those folks that set up appointments with me that's never learned how to tell time, amen? You know what I mean? All right. We talk about it a lot. Pick it up here in Romans 13. Let's begin in verse 10. We'll read to the end of the chapter. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, we do hear a lot about time. Time governs the way we live, don't it? One of the beautiful things of heaven is no alarm clocks, amen? I mean, it does govern us. When we get up, when we go to bed, and everywhere you look, you punch it in by a clock. You're departing if you go to the airport. They got a big board up there that says departing flights and arriving flights, and they got the time. They don't mean nothing, but they've got them up there anyway. And we understand that thing. And we really speak sometimes of wasting time, but what we really waste is the opportunities that we could have achieved during that time. And time's important. We measure value by how much time it took to build this, or how much time it did to travel here, or whatever. And we understand some of the value with it. Now, you know, we got all kind of cliches going about time, and we hear things like time waits for no man, and that sort of thing. And I'll probably speak on the cliche a little bit when I speak of saying that. Time will tell, and time is a tattletale. It does tell. Time passes by, but the sad part is it marks us up with its fingerprints as it goes by. Amen? You know what I mean? My wife, last night I was in the room watching something, news of something, and I'll be honest, it was the car races. I remember now. I was watching the car races. And she interrupted me and said, you ought to flip to channel so-and-so and look at those old movie stars. Now, I could care less. But I flipped over there, and there was my heroes of old, and they did look different. I'm telling you what, Gunsmoke characters and others, man, did they look different now. I mean, time had put some fingerprints on those folks. I remember when I went to my last class reunion, I remember how old my classmates look. Some of them were so old they couldn't even recognize me. Know what I'm saying? Amen. It marks us up, don't it? It may pass by, but it does some damage, and it does pass, and it passes fast, and we understand a few things about it. But I want to deal a little bit with this thought here. Paul is saying, knowing the time, he's saying it's high time to awake. And he's telling us our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And you know what? I received the Lord Jesus Christ way back in about 1957. That's been a while, but I want to tell you something. I'm nearer to seeing him now than I was then. My salvation is nearer than when I first believed. And he goes on in a warning sense. The night is spent, far spent. The day is at hand. And he's giving us a warning here. And some of you young folks may not can relate to it, but if you hang around enough, you'll get old. It'll happen to you. In fact, you ought to honor your old folks because you are going to be one. You are one now. You just hadn't got to that stop yet. But you're getting there. Amen. And time, though, is a tattletale. It does tell things. Now, we've had in the news this week all the current events of the last number of 18 days or whatever it's been with all the people over there in Egypt. And everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? That sort of thing. Personally, my own opinion is ultimately going to be bad. Now, I'm for all the people that may have got some freedom, but I recognize the Bible being fulfilled and all of that stuff over there. And I see that. Now, somebody made the statement, well, time will tell. Yeah, time will tell. And almost every time you have that sort of thing over there, it gets a little worse. So there's some bad things coming. Somebody saw in the news this week, I saw just a line about it. Well, there's an asteroid coming. Anybody see that? I have several hands. It wasn't on Oprah, I don't think. I'm fussing at some of you folks that watch the soap operas and the other junk. Help yourself. I don't think you ought to watch that as the stomach turns and all that business. Amen. But anyway, you do it. But they say asteroid's coming, and you can set your date by it. I think it's what's supposed to be in 2036 or something like that. Well, I'm not planning on being here. Some of you could, though. Some of you could, but not if the Lord comes for the saved. Amen. But anyway, some bad things down the road. And say, what's the difference? A little block of time, that's all. That's all. I'm often conscious when I go to visit somebody in the hospital and walk down the hall, I recognize the only difference in the one in the sick bed, maybe even on the deathbed, and me is just a few weeks on the counter. That's all. That's all. Time is moving on. And time does reveal some things. And the context here kind of fits that. If we look, Paul says, be awake. He said, don't you understand you're moving toward a destination? You're moving in this direction. Are you awake that this is happening? He said, wake up to the times. And if there's ever been a time in America, we ought to wake up to the times. It's today. It's today. Now, let me say this. Time will tell on the lifestyle you live. It'll show up. You ever see one of the ugliest pictures anybody ever painted of some old codger? I mean, he looks terrible. And the caption underneath says, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. Anybody ever see that? You ought to look at that. That's kind of scary. But time tells on our lifestyle. Now, we can, fuss over lifestyles, and a lot of folks do. I'll do it my way, you know. Okay, but what's it going to look like when time reveals the end of it? The Bible says there's a way that seemeth man right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And a lot of folks that are seemingly enjoying all they can now are going to pay for it later. And that's true in health, and it's true in a lot of other ways. Now, the Bible way is to live right. If you're saved, you ought to live clean. You ought to live separated. You ought to live honest. You ought to be a man that will pay his bills. You ought to be a man that will take care of his wife and his kids. You ought to want to do it right. By the way, I saw a stat this week that said the economy is suffering today from all these reasons, but one reason is the breakdown of the families, the breakdown of the home. And he went on to explain that a man that's living morally right is more likely to go to the job, to pay the bills, to take care of the wife and kids, and all of that is a big boost to an economy. And the opposite of that is a drain on the economy. The opposite of that is somebody becomes a taker instead of a producer. And we're seeing that day and time on us today. The fellow went back in history, checked out some civilizations. He said as long as marriage was elevated and morality was elevated, he said, you'll find strong economies. He said when Rome began to go to sex perversion and go into immorality, he said Rome was brought down as much from the inside as from any other way. And part of the problem with our economy today is exactly that. We got too many people wanting to follow the world's way instead of God's way. The world's way instead of the Bible's way. Hollywood's way instead of God's way. You know, I could care less what the harlots and the whoremongers in Hollywood is doing this week. I don't care who had to go to a hospital to get dried out, to get rid of their dope or their, I could care less about that. But you know, the prime news is keeping up with this one and keeping up with that one. And I'm not going to use their names. They're from the pulpit up here. But the truth of the matter is, our young folks will get, hey, that's no model to pattern after. That's no hero to follow. They're not living God's way, and time will reveal. Most of them will die young. And already in a mess, many of them. You've seen the case. You could put the names to it. But God's way is the best way, and time reveals that. Somebody says, he's living as though they were no tomorrow. Somebody else said, live every day as though it was your last, and one of these days you'll have it right. One of these days, that day will arrive. Time will make sure that it arrives. And to live as we should is the blessed way. Time proves it's the blessed way. It's the way that ends in victory. Now look at the verse just a moment. It compares to, let us therefore cast off, number one, the works of darkness. Number two, let us put on the armor of light. Now think about it with me a moment. It says the armor of light. Now you know what armor is, don't you? I mean, that's a defensive dress that you put on. I mean, man, that's the thing to keep the sword from cutting you. That's the armor's got the helmet, it's got the breastplate. It's got all this to defend off the strikes and the blows you're going to get. You know what the verse is saying? It's saying when you walk in the light, it's like having on some armor. It's like being protected. When you walk in the darkness, you have no protection. I mean, you don't know what you're going to do next. And here's a comparison here. And let me say this to the young people just a moment. You've been sold a bill of goods that when we tell you in church, when good parents tell you or good school teachers tell you to do right, you think we're trying to oppress you, trying to withhold something good from me. Yeah, we might be trying to withhold you getting pregnant before you get married. We might be trying to withhold you getting AIDS. We might be holding something back from you that'll scar you for the rest of your life. Oh yeah, we're withholding some things, but we're trying to point you to the lighted way, the way that'll put the armor on you, the way that'll protect you from the devil and the vices of this old world. And the Bible still proves out by time it's the best road to take. I'm talking about even when you get saved, you can still live for the devil and you're not protected from his darts. But you put on the armor, the whole armor of God, the scripture calls it, and you'll find out that's the lighted way. That's the way to walk. That's the way that'll turn out right. That's the blessed way of God. You know, in Christian school, we got rules for everything. Say why? Because they're needed. If everybody did right, we wouldn't need any rules. Need rules. We need rules just like the farmer needs fences to keep in his livestock, to protect them from what's on the other side of the fence. And I want to say to young people, freedom's inside the rules. Freedom's inside the fence, not on the other side of the fence. That's, the protection is on the inside. I know a lot of argument about it. A good preacher friend of mine, he's dead now, I called his name, many of you know, pastored a great church. For the first 20 years of him pastoring, he said, I'm not going to have a Christian school. He said, I want to reach the public school kids. So he said for the first 20 years, now his last 20 years, 30 years, he did have a Christian school. But he said for the first 20 years, I sent my canaries into the cage with the sparrows to teach them to sing. He said, I found out later I had a bunch of chirping canaries and no singing sparrows. Do you get the point? You get the point? How many of you believe if you got a sick man in the bed, you can go put a healthy man in there with him and the sick man will get well? It don't work that way, does it? God warned you about that kind of stuff. The truth is there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and time reveals how it turns out. Now the text here compares the work of darkness. America can't seem to get this. Did you see in the news this week, the Prime Minister of England, he's been saying it for a little while now, Prime Minister of France, Ms. Merkel, I believe is her name, Prime Minister of Germany. Did you see where all three of them come out at different times and said multiculturalism is not working? If you didn't see that, you ought to get it. America needs to learn something. We need to learn something from that. I'm telling you something, putting the healthy man in the bed with a sick man don't work. And what we've got going on in our country is we're losing our values, compromising our values to let these come in and do their own thing in our midst. Now, like what Australia said, if you're going to come over here, you're going to be an immigrant into Australia, then you learn our language. And you learn our ways. And you learn our values. And if you don't like them, go back. And that's exactly where we ought to take a stand in America. Pluralism and multiculturalism is killing our country and selling it out. And hardworking taxpayers are picking up the bill for something we don't owe and should not have to pay. Help you say, that's politics. I don't care what you call it. It's truth. It's truth. That's what it is. Time's going to tell on that lifestyle. It's already telling on it. When we talk about economy and recession and everything else, if you check it out, you'll find out that's a great big part of what's happening. And that's what these guys are finally admitting in England and France and Germany. It's what they're finally admitting. They said they were ahead of us and we're following suit and we're pretty close behind them right now. Our time will tell on your lifestyle. It'll also tell if you're really a servant of God or not. I mean, a lot of folks talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. And when it comes to being a real servant of God, if you were to go over to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and you pick it up in the third chapter, just before you get through with the Old Testament, you'll find out that the people of God, the Jews in this case, had come down to the place that God brings some heavy accusations against them. He charges them with robbing God. He charges them with not even being willing to go to the house of God and shut the door if they didn't get paid for it. I mean, brother, he sounds like he's describing some current events as you read here in the last book of the Old Testament. But I want you to notice one thing, the last verse of the third chapter. Then shall ye return, talking about the Lord's coming back, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now I want to say to you, God has a lot of work to do. He needs men that'll work. He needs women that'll serve. He needs us. We are to be his hands and his feet. We are to be his tongue. We are to get the job done out there. And we ought to get this. I don't know who the speech writer was that wrote it for President Kennedy, but when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, that ought to be your attitude in church. Don't come and sit down and say, now, are you going to serve me better than the church down the street? Oh, baloney. We probably aren't. Not here. We want to be real. We want you to have a cause. We want you to see the cause is important and see what you can do toward the cause of reaching souls for Jesus Christ before he comes. And so I'm not real caring about whether I tickle your ears or whether or not you go away with a good warm feeling. I'd rather you go away on the conviction of what you ought to straighten out than get the pat on the back because it was a pleasant service today. The preacher was so sweet, he just smiled all over the place. Blinked his eyes. No, that's not me. And I don't believe it's really a man of God doing that stuff. I want to go to a doctor that'll tell me the truth when he examines me. And I want to go to a church where the preacher will tell me the truth when he examines the Word of God and I apply it, brother. Amen and amen. Now, time will tell whether you're a servant of God or not. There's a lot of ways to serve. By the way, most service is spelled T-I-M-E. Time. Time. That's the way it's spelled. Yes, your talents, and yes, your tithe. You ought to be a tither, and you ought to use your talents for God, but all that is still involved in time. Even if your tithe's money, but you earn it by your time, don't you? Sure. If you're going to live right with your family, you're going to have to give your family some time. I mean, man, time is a valuable thing, and we show where we what we think. We show what we think of God's church for the time we put into it. Time tells who we love. I think about the man that went overseas for a job and left his girlfriend behind and gone a long time and gone, but he wrote letters, faithfully wrote letters. She got letters almost every day, certainly every week, telling her how much he loved her. He finally came home, decided he'd marry her, but it was too late. She'd already married the postman because she saw him every week delivering the letters. You say, what about that? Well, he had time for the job, but not time for her. Time spells you love. How much time you give to that one you love is one thing to say it. It's something else to show it. And it costs some time to put it in to be that way. Now, time will tell if you're really a servant of God or if you're serving God for the loaves and fishes that you get when you follow. Amen? I'll tell you something else about time. Time is also telling on the promises of God. Now, here's what I want to say about that. We're living in a day and time when it can be proved out. Go ahead and take the child on out around, and there's a nursery and toddlers back there. Everybody's looking over there, and that means I've added 10 minutes to the sermon this morning to come back and review. I'm joking with you. Truth of the matter is, time will tell on the promises of God. What do you mean? I mean, what God said he'd do, he'll do it. Our trouble is we want it right now, our way, the way we want it done. No, the Bible says we're to wait on the Lord. And waiting often shows and demonstrates the faith that we believe God is going to do it. We have a great verse in the Bible. We love to quote it, but we don't love to wait on it. That's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. Now, wait a minute. They don't always work out today. Or maybe tomorrow on our time schedule. But according to God's promise, they do work out. Work out good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. Now, promises of God. Some of us in here have lived long enough since we became a Christian that we've watched the promises of God fulfilled. Have you done that? Have you seen God supply your need? Do you remember when it just didn't look like where it was coming from, but it did come? And God said, I shall supply all your need according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Did he say that? Yes, he did. Now, some of us have gotten a little older, and we hear in the news, you know, the Social Security is bad and this and that. No. Hey, I never was looking for that. I was always saying, God, I'm looking to you. And God can take care of us today just like he did a widow woman in the time of famine in the Old Testament. God's still in charge. We can still trust him. He says he'll honor them that honor him. Now, you know, that takes a step of faith. You got the pressure on the job. You got the pressure of the friends. You got the different ones that will mock you and joke about you and laugh at you and even persecute you if you speak up for the Lord or even live the clean Christian lifestyle. But I want to tell you, you believe God, he'll honor them that honors him. And in the long run, which is what counts, in the long run, it'll turn out. He honors them. I've seen him keep his promise. He's made a lot of promises in this book. He's promised to come again, hadn't he? I believe he will. If it was up to me, he'd already been here, but it's not up to me. But I still believe he's coming. I believe I'm closer to it than I've ever been in my life. And now, say, why isn't he already here? Aren't things bad enough? They're plenty bad. They're plenty bad. And they'll get worse. But the truth of the matter is, he'll come in his own timing. And the Bible says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I don't know who God's waiting on to be saved. Might be you. You might be the last one that receives Christ as Savior. I don't know. How long will he wait on you? How long has he been waiting on you is a better question. How long has he been waiting on you? How many times has he let you come to church and hear that Jesus loved you and died for you and paid for your sins? And if you'd trust him, you could be saved by the grace of God. As Sister Johnson was saying, an amazing grace that God paid a price you couldn't pay when he died for your sins. He offers you salvation as a gift. All you have to do is receive it. You say, you don't know how bad I've been. No, I don't, but God does. And Jesus died for you in all of your ungodlinesses and all your sins. He paid for on the cross, and he paid the full price, and he offers you to receive salvation like a gift. Oh, my soul, that's a promise he's made. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's to you. That's a promise. I mean, time will tell on the promises of God. And I could have testimonies all over this building of people that would raise their hand and say, yes, God promised and he's been faithful, and I give a testimony to that. And certainly my hand would be up. He honors them that honor him. He has promised to come again. I don't care about the scoffers today. Let the atheists put up the billboards everywhere they want to. What a joke. What a joke. An atheist breathing God's air, eating God's food, drinking God's water, his heart having asked God for permission to beat again, and he says there's no God. No wonder the Bible calls him a fool. And it does. We're getting very close to the atheist holiday. Won't be far off. It's called April 1st. Amen. Not too far from it. It's what the Bible, don't look at me. Read Psalms 14:1 and Psalms 53:1 where it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God wrote that, I didn't. But it's in the book, and it's the truth. It's the truth. Oh, we're in the day of scoffers, but even as I watch the news this week, what I'm seeing is the nations aligning just like the Bible said they would for the end time. They're being brought down to the Valley of Megiddo for the Battle of Armageddon. The coalition of nations over there are being put together just like this book wrote 3,000 years ago that it would be. If that wouldn't disturb some folks to say God knows what he's doing, because he promised what he would do, and he is going to do it. And I don't care what you read about Israel being destroyed, God's going to preserve them just like he did Jonah in the belly of the whale until he has a purpose fulfilled in them. And all the nations of the world are not going to stop that. And all that tells me is that Jesus is coming, and coming soon, brother. I mean coming soon. You know, time proves the promises of God. Let me also say this. Time will tell on the decision, all the decisions you make, but time will tell on the decision you're making right now. There's some of you came to church today, you think by accident, but it was no accident. God wanted you to come, hear what you were going to hear, knew ahead of time, so you could make a decision. You will make a decision. You say, no, I won't. I won't decide today. Yes, you will. You'll decide to receive Christ or reject Christ, to come to him or leave without him. That's the decision you make today. If you've never received him, you'll make a decision today to do it or not do it. Yes, and time will prove that decision to be good or to be bad. Oh, I tell you what, one day it'll be too late to go back and make that decision again. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, there'll come a time, and we know it's in the tribulation period or near the end of it, Well, the Bible says an angel comes down from heaven and he puts one foot on the ground, on the earth, and one foot on the waters, the seas. And he declares that there'll be time and no longer. It'll be up. It'll be up. Have you ever watched a ball game when the team you was pulling for almost come back, but they what? They ran out of time. They ran out of time. I've seen some folks that was going to get saved, but they ran out of time. I visited some on the deathbed that ran out of time. Time is passing, whether you like it or not. Time is going to reveal the truth. It's going to tell the whole story. And time will tell whether you made a good decision or not. If you could lift the lid on hell this morning, you'd hear people down there saying, I wish I had another opportunity. I wish I'd taken advantage of the time I did have the opportunity. Oh, listen, the good news is you still have time. You still have time to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have time to turn from religion, turn from your good deeds, turn from all the philosophies you've heard. You have time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If there's any one thing you ought to be thankful for today, it's not your good health. It's the fact you're still alive and have time to make a decision that time will prove out. And it will prove it out good if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a sad thing in this life when a man loses hope. The lost in hell have no hope because they have no future. They have no set sentence in hell. It's forever. You know, a man in prison, and we have quite a prison ministry out of our church with faithful men that go. You know what the prisoner's hope is? He's serving his time. He's serving his time. And what's going to happen is on a certain date, he's going to get released. So he looks forward to that release. He looks forward to that time. And you know, the sad thing is for the man that realized there is no release date. There is no time to serve and finish. There's an old historical classic piece called Dante's Inferno. It's a classic where a man wrote as though he journeyed through hell. That wouldn't be politically correct now, but it's a classic, just as Shakespeare or something is classic stuff. And you can get it and read it. Dante's Inferno. And as you begin to read, and as you come to the entrance of hell, he has a sign over the entrance of hell. And the sign says, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Nothing holds a terror as to know there's not another chance. Another chance. I say to you, don't take a chance. Make the right decision today. The right decision that time will prove to be the right decision. And that's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn from all you've heard. Turn from all the religion. Turn from church membership or whatever else. And turn to Jesus and trust Him and what He did for you on the cross when He paid for your sins. And that's the best decision you'll ever make. And time and eternity will prove it to be the right decision if you receive Him.